Usually when you have a collection, it's stuff you want to be around, like art or classic cars or potholders. Hi, Mom. But what fascinates this next collector are tokens of death. She lives in a part of Mason County surrounded by forests where lots of animals live and, of course, die. To her, what they leave behind isn't gross or creepy. It's beautiful. Sound effect contributor Max Wasserman has the story.
The first time Amanda Jo turned onto this dirt road, she was just looking for a spot to take photos. She didn't get far before she found something else.
I had to stop real soon because I realized I was running over bones. And they're just everywhere.
To give you an idea of the setting, we're looking at a huge patch of timberland. It's a hot, humid day, and the tree saplings are about neck high. Amanda brushes them aside on a tour of what looks like a dumping ground for hunters. She's thin, but muscular. Two bird skulls dangle from her ears, kind of like the ones tattooed below her collarbone.
Elk rib, deer rib, deer rib. Pelvis. There's more ribs and vertebra. It's another deer pelvis. There's its fur.
If you're anything like me, you're probably wondering why Amanda comes out here. Well, she collects and cleans animal bones, then turns them into jewelry. Where others see death, she sees beauty.
It wasn't so jarring to see the bones out here, like even though there was just bones scattered everywhere. They were in the grass, and there were vultures, and there were bugs, and everything seemed to be doing the cycle of life that it's supposed to be.
Amanda moved here after years of living in cities across the Puget Sound. Why? Too many rules, she says. Not enough independence. You get a better sense of what that means once you see her property. There's a small house, a goat pen, and several vegetable gardens. And then there's this thing.
So this is my creepy bone shed.
In case you didn't catch that, Amanda is talking about her bone shed. It looks like a chicken coop, except replace all the chickens with animal skeletons and bone buckets.
This is when I first bring it back. This is pretty much where everything goes. Because a lot of it's straight up rotten. I mean, there's still flesh, there's still bugs, there's still beetles bored in there. So it all sits out here until it's kind of finished.
At one point, Amanda puts a giant rib bone next to her chest, like she's trying it on for size.
Would you be able to make something out of that?
Yeah. I actually found a cow skull out on a logging road, which is a really weird thing to come across because they're huge. And I found enough ribs that I think I can make a nice little cow. Kind of like a scarecrow. We kind of need to keep the birds away from the yard.
And nothing says get out like a dead animal carcass.
Scary cow skeleton kind of up in the air. I feel like that'll weird out a bird or two.
To understand how Amanda got into making stuff out of animal bones, we have to go back to a point when she was in grade school. At the time, she was living with her parents near downtown Puyallup. This was the 80s when the area was still full of small farms. On their property was a big red barn.
It was the first time in years that I'd lived someplace that wasn't just, you know, we didn't just live in like a little ticky-tacky house, like next to someone else's ticky-tacky house. Like we had a little more space and we had this beautiful area to have these beautiful little baby birds. The nest was like very much at the top of the barn, like right at the peak. So they had to have fallen 20, 25 feet. They looked like they were sleeping. They were just laying in the gravel. But they, I mean, pink, they still didn't quite have all their feathers and stuff. Just the stillness of it, I think, is what was scary for me as a kid. Like, silence and stillness, and something's just gone now.
Her mom suggested they bury the birds, which they did. But before that, Amanda says she just sat there for hours, singing to them.
Sitting with the little dead birds and like singing and crying to them made me feel like I acknowledged them, like I gave them something, and that I still remember them. Like I can still tell the story, I can still see them in the gravel.
This need to appreciate death dovetailed with Amanda's early ambitions as a collector.
Yeah, just anything, feathers, bits of rusty things, like old broken jewelry. I have like boxes when I was a kid, and they're just full of nonsense. It's like somewhere in my little kid mind, all of those things were treasure and important.
By her early 30s, Amanda's collection was more bones than anything else. She made the jump to a full-time jewelry maker about 7 years ago. As you can imagine, the transition was a slow one.
And in the beginning, I also didn't know skeletons. Like, is it a raccoon? Is it a deer? Is that a people? Like, no, it's never a people. It's never a people. I've looked everywhere. I've never found a people.
Along the way, she learned the ropes. Turns out, anything you're allowed to hunt in Washington is generally fair game for a collection. And cleaning bones? Not that easy. It can take months, especially if there's still meat attached. But what held Amanda back the most wasn't the collecting part. It was something else.
I was worried people would think I was weird more in the beginning. I mean, I made some jewelry for friends who I knew who liked stuff, but I wasn't real vocal to like strangers or other people about what I was doing.
People would sometimes make mean comments at the art fair she'd sell at, or they couldn't understand why someone who didn't eat meat or hunt wanted to wear dead animal parts. They'd ask, "How are you okay with this?" Amanda would respond,
"Because I'm not afraid of death." Like,
the fear Amanda felt seeing those dead birds as a kid, it shrunk bit by bit as she spent more time around bones. The idea of death became less toxic and more normal.
I think the reason wearing bones weirds people out is that you're supposed to look at death a different way. You're supposed to bury the bones. You're supposed to hide them, but we're all made of bones and we're all going to die. And I think it opens up a conversation for death, which, like, I like talking about death. I deal with death a lot, but it's also the more I talk about it, the less scared I am of it, and hopefully the less scared other people are of it. I would like to eventually, like, be a death doula or do more with, like, humans and death, because I feel like I have an understanding of what the passage is.
When it comes to her own death, Amanda has some ideas. She talks about it as if it's a birthday party, with the same cheer and a touch of practicality.
Washington State's opened up a lot of options for green burial lately, so I think that's amazing. Like, I'd love to be buried under a tree, have a tree grow out of me, or be eaten by a bear, which would be pretty cool, but I think that's a harder one, so I'll go with the being buried under a tree.
Amanda is now in her early 40s. It's not like her death is around the corner, at least not hopefully, but she likes to picture it anyways. Her muscle and skin turning to carbon, plants and animals feeding off her body. It sounds morbid, and frankly, it gives me the chills. But then there's something reassuring in how it all ends, of just leaving behind a collection of bones.